This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, rock and rollers. It's that time again as your reader, Dennis Pratt, takes you behind.
Cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover.
Stone.
Today I am reading from the February issue of Rolling Stone magazine that features on the cover Dua Lipa. So let's not waste any more time and get right into that article. This article is written by Brittany Spanios, and the headline begins with Dua Lipa is giving us everything. After a whirlwind couple of years, the wildly ambitious pop star is embracing freedom and fun, both in her life and on her upcoming album. As she kicks off a new era, she lets us into her dreams, her anxieties, and what she wants to stand for. And there's a lot of beautiful pictures of Dua Lipa in this article. She's wearing black leather, she's wearing black trench coats with white t-shirts. They're all shot in black and white, so let's see what the story's all about. Dua Lipa is thinking about her Saturn return as she says this. At 28, she's deep in it now, but the astrology-loving star had been anticipating the foreboding planetary event for a while. It's a cosmic coming of age, usually when people are at the cusp of 30 years old, marked by tons of transitions and transformations and upheaval. Lipa, who's about to start an entirely new chapter in her career, is feeling it all. It drags by your feet, Lipa says in her North London lilt, relishing the chaos a bit. Quote, I thought 28 was going to be so cute, end quote. We're seated on the now empty patio at Gelina, a popular restaurant on Venice Beach's trendy Abbot Kinney Boulevard. She sheepishly admits that her love for the show Californication made her want to see this street before she ever visited Los Angeles. Lipa pulled up to lunch alone, weaving through once-packed tables in her tweed car coat, t-shirt, jeans, and sunglasses. Her hair, dyed a deep mulled wine red, makes her stick out immediately, which might be why the owner, who knows her dad and is also of Albanian descent, sends over a free dessert. Albanians everywhere, she says with a shrug. She's slightly jet-lagged, having landed from London a few days earlier. 2 days before her flight, she released her new single, Houdini, a neo-psychedelic dance floor rager. The next morning, Grammy nominations were announced, and she found out her Barbie hit, Dance the Night, was up for 2 awards, including Song of the Year. I didn't even know they were coming out that day, she says. She celebrated by going to her friend's DJ set and admits she was kind of hungover for her flight. But in between such big moments and celebrations, Lipa has been figuring out a lot about herself. Her highly anticipated third album is due later this year, and it captures a period of major changes in her life, including the end of a relationship and her forays into dating. She also parted ways with the management firm that represented her for a decade and bought back the rights to her music. Beyond that, she's been planting seeds and piling up projects that include her Service 95 newsletter. movie roles and a production company plotting out exactly what she wants to do in the future. Quote, I'm being thrown into learning lessons of resilience, she says. Lessons of maybe not having to be so strong all the time and being okay with that, end quote. She searches for the words a bit. Quote, I don't know. I'm learning so much about myself, end quote. Lipa may have already been more resilient than she realized. Look no further than her origin story. At 15 years old, she famously persuaded her family to let her leave Kosovo and moved back to London, where she was born, completely alone. She finished school, passed her A-levels, and began waiting tables and modeling while seeking out a team and label to get her music career off the ground. Before she turned 20 years old, she was signed. In the years leading up to and following the release of her 2017 self-titled debut, Lipa hustled in the studio and on the road, playing festivals and opening for Troye Sivan, Bruno Mars, and Coldplay. The work paid off with hits like New Rules and a Best New Artist Grammy Award. Then, in 2020, her hyperglam disco revival called Future Nostalgia became a pandemic blockbuster that climbed the charts and launched her into main pop girl territory. The album was a rebel yell for Lipa. It became an unlikely soundtrack for millions of people during lockdown and made disco a ubiquitous trend in pop for the next few years. And with her warm, soulful voice mixed with her undeniable self-assuredness, Lipa became the pop diva ready to meet an uncertain moment. While she's one of the most streamed artists in the world, she's also your favorite rock star's favorite pop star. When Elton John isn't calling her up for lavish dinners, Mick Jagger is busting a move with her at his Christmas party. Quote, we had a full dance party, dancing with Mick Jagger in his living room, end quote, she says, and laughs. She breaks into a light impression of Jagger. He's like, all right, babe, let's go, darling. Last summer, Trent Reznor said that he found Levitating so well-crafted it made him tear up. That was too cool, Lipa says, smiling widely. Recently, for her Service 95 book club, Lipa spoke to Patti Smith, one of her heroes. Smith shared that she had a picture of Lipa in a chain mail dress at the Barbie premiere and instantly thought of Joan of Arc. Quote, sometimes when I'm talking about things like this, I'm like, it feels weird that I'm even talking about myself, end quote, Lipa says. Lipa is everywhere, but many critics feel they have barely cracked the surface of who she is. She slips so easily between genres that her sound and personality came off as inscrutable earlier in her career. Glimpses into her life outside the spotlight would come in frequent but well-curated waves on her Instagram, the only social platform she runs herself. For her, music is a job, and her personal life remains just that. I like to just live my life, do my photo dump, write my songs, and dip, she explains. I'm not interested in trying to be controversial or do something for a reaction. Her poise and disinterest in drama often leads people to cast her as a guarded, too perfect pop bot. Jokes and criticism that she's not trying hard enough, not giving enough, have hurt her. In the middle of all this self-discovery, Lipa's been figuring out how to create more distance from the noise around her. Quote, "It's always so easy with social media to get caught up in a negative spiral or people being mean, telling you what they think about you without really knowing you at all. It's already so far-fetched, maybe for some people to think that you have feelings or that you get upset. For me, I think it's just important to be able to take things with a pinch of salt." End quote. As unfazed as she may seem, some comments do sting. Take the reactions to something as innocuous as Lipa kicking back on vacation. After her Future Nostalgia Tour wrapped in November 2022, Lipa spent the beginning of 2023 traveling the world with her family and friends. Fans dubbed her the Vacanza Queen, commenting about how she's never home since her Instagram feed was full of photo dumps from places like Cannes and Ibiza. Quote, "I think people are quick to forget. I was on tour up until the end of December. I felt like I missed out on so much time with my family and friends. It shows how short our attention span is, which is why music comes out so much faster." End quote. And then, just for a second, she bristles slightly, exhausted by how something so harmless has been getting picked apart. Quote, "Of course I was going to fucking holiday and chill during the year, that I was just going in the studio and had some time off. As long as I'm doing my job, hitting my deadlines, and getting my shit done, then I will find a way to relax too. It's really work hard and play hard. Why not?" End quote. Lipa is working hard now. Her fans are eagerly awaiting her third album, which they've nicknamed DL3. She isn't quite ready to reveal the actual title, but she shares that it's a psychedelic pop-infused tribute to UK rave culture. It's heavily inspired by acts like Primal Scream and Massive Attack, staples for a London girl with a penchant for late-night drives around her city. Even her aesthetic is a total 180 from her last era, toning down the glam, sparkly bodysuits in an effort to evoke the, quote, "don't give a fuckness," end quote, of Brit pop acts like Oasis and Blur. More touchstones for her new music. "This record feels a bit more raw," she says. "I want to capture the essence of youth and freedom and having fun and just letting things happen, whether it's good or bad. You can't change it. You just have to roll with the punches of whatever's happening in your life." But Dua is still Dua, and she hasn't lost any of the command and drive that's brought her this far, even with her Saturn return serving up new lessons every day. There's a ton she's planning right now, and she's going to give her fans everything, even while taking things in stride. "I'm trying to move with lightness, like nothing is the end of the world," she says. "Whatever happens is exactly the way it's supposed to be." Just a week earlier, before our lunch date in LA, Lipa was at home in London. It was November, and the city was dreary, the sky gray and the streets dusted with the intermittent rain. From the outside, her house looks like a foreboding industrial-style warehouse, locked down, gated, and brick-walled. She settled down here in December 2022 and lives near her childhood home and teenage haunts. She finally points out that there's a club nearby where she saw J. Cole's first UK tour. Walking into her house feels a little like stepping from a black and white landscape into full Technicolor. It might seem like a fortress from the outside, but like Lipa, the interior is sophisticated and inviting, full of thoughtfully curated decorations and cozy furniture fit for the numerous dinner parties she hosts here. Oversized orange and white couches surround heavy granite coffee tables. Against one wall is a walnut cabinet accented with tchotchkes and a copy of Patti Smith's M Train. A giant color wheel looms over her white record player, while on the same wall hangs a collage of the Muppets painted by the art collective Friends With You. On the bench below, a crate of records has an Oasis bootleg perched at the front, alongside a few artfully placed vintage books that include William A. Imboden's History of Hallucinogenic Botanicals, Narcotic Plants, and the screenplay for Paris, Texas. Lipa is wrapping up a meeting with her team in another part of the house, but within minutes, she walks into the living room. She is in the middle of a promotional blitz that includes radio appearances, photo shoots, and social media content. Though she's dressed down in jeans and a Palace Unidas sweatshirt, her eyes are done up in heavy, smoked-out cat eye from an on-camera appearance that morning. Her red hair is down except for two tiny face-framing braids. Lipa began working on her new music in 2021, long before her Future Nostalgia tour started. At the time, it was still unclear if there would be a tour given all the pandemic-related delays and health concerns. Quote, I was like, I might as well get back in the studio and start working on a new project. And for me, I just have to write a lot until I get my idea, end quote. The album didn't take shape until after the second leg of her year-long tour was over. The exact date, maybe it was June. Lipa's brows furrows as she tries to remember, and because she needs to be precise, she jumps off the orange couch we are sitting on and walks towards the seemingly normal white brick wall next to us. It turns out it actually is a secret doorway to her bedroom. It's so heavy, she groans, struggling to pry it open. But she returns holding a thick notebook that she purchased from CVS that's covered in abstract, absent-minded Dua doodles. The pages are filled with notes and handwritten lyrics, and she flips to the date in question, July 2022, which is when she first met Tame Impala's Kevin Parker. I was so nervous because I'm such a fan of Kevin's, Lipa says. Parker, she remembers, was quite shy in the beginning. She invited him to a session with three other people she had been working with that summer. Her longtime collaborator, Caroline Aylin, who co-wrote Don't Start Now and New Rules, electronica auteur Danny L. Harl, and folky pop balladeer Tobias Gesso Jr. Putting these four disparate musical personalities together was a risky gamble that paid off. After a while, we all just loosened up together, Lipa recalls. By the end of the first day at London's 5DB, the group had a really good song. By the end of the week, they had three. Quote, I remember thinking it was a genius move to get that combination of people together, Parker says, like hats off to her, end quote. Lipa refers to this particular group as her band. Quote, they just ended up making 8 of the 11 tracks on the album. Outside of Aylin, everyone was mostly new to her. She admits that she had been apprehensive about letting new people into her orbit. As things get bigger, you get more scared to open up and be vulnerable and sit down in a room and just speak from the heart, she says. Part of that might be because Lipa was sorting out a bunch of stuff in her personal life. Boundaries, breaks, balance. In December 2021, right as she was entering tour rehearsals, the tabloids reported her breakup with model Anwar Hadid, the brother of Bella and Gigi Hadid, who she dated for 2 years. She spent the following year tiptoeing back into single life. Quote, dating, I think overall, is just a little confusing, she says, which is something both comforting and terrifying to hear from someone even Margot Robbie has said she has a crush on. Quote, it's either through friends of friends or people you trust where you can meet new people, because dating is not really so straightforward when you are, I guess, a public person, end quote. Lipa started a new relationship last year, but confirms she's single again on a call in December. According to Aylin, they, quote, always started with the truth, end quote. Lipa would arrive to sessions with Aylin, Harl, Gesso, and Parker, armed with stories from the night before, chronicling the often ridiculous ride that is dating in your mid-20s. The final product is uniquely and utterly Dua Lipa. Confident dance pop full of witty Instagram caption-ready one-liners. A lot of the songs are playful scenes from clubs or nights out with friends. The lyrics toggle from warnings that she'll make a fast escape to optimism about what a first kiss could become. There are no sweeping ballads, though there is one good ballad fake-out that blooms into a more buoyant Carole King and Fleetwood Mac-inspired moment. Mostly, this album is straightforward pop bliss, not unlike her approach to future nostalgia. Lipa doesn't talk about her love life in depth. People will have to look to the music to get a sense of her private thoughts. One song juxtaposes light harmonies with a tumultuous portrait of a relationship coming to an end. Quote, we call it love, but hate it here. Did we really mean it when we said forever? She sings. But another highlight, one of Lipa's favorites on the record, is all about maturity and healing. The dreamy mid-tempo track plays out like an updated take on Gwen Stefani's song, Cool. In the lyrics, she compliments her ex-new relationship, calling his new girlfriend, quote, really pretty. And she finds peace as she moves on. She sings, I must have loved you more than I ever knew. I'm not mad. I'm not hurt. You got everything you deserve. End quote. When you have a feeling like that one, you feel really grown because you're like, oh, wow. I'm such an evolved human being that I can see my ex move on and feel good about it, she explains. For Lipa, writing about letting go without animosity was a new experience. Quote, I think I've had breakups in my life where I felt like the only kind of breakup you could have was when things just ended really badly, she says. Things ending in a nice way was such a new thing. It taught me a lot. For the sound on the album, she thought back to British club culture and the type of carefree abandon she feels when she's on the dance floor. Lipa's collaborators helped unlock that energy. She met Harl at the after party of an after party of a show through Andrew Wyatt, who co-wrote Lipa's first single, New Love, as well as her Barbie hit. Wyatt and Harl had done stuff for Polacek, who opened for Lipa's tour. They also worked with a less expected collaborator that picked Lipa's interest, former Oasis singer Liam Gallagher. On Gallagher's album, Harl was credited as a rave consultant responsible for the breakbeat element on the 2022 cut, I'm Free, which he co-produced with Wyatt. Quote, Dua really enjoyed that, end quote, Harl says. Dua likes going to a rave. This is true. I love being on the dance floor and being the first on the dance floor if nobody else is dancing, Lipa says. Other inspirations came from Lipa's upbringing in London. The mixes that played late in the evening on Radio 1 were a huge guide. That's where she first heard some of her favorite Primal Scream remixes, which eventually led her to their 1991 LP, Screamadelica. And in addition to Oasis and Blur, she found herself turning to more of the 90s rock and electronica acts she grew up listening to, like Moby and Gorillaz. I mentioned that some of those Britpop influences, Noel Gallagher and Damon Albarn in particular, haven't always been very kind to female pop artists. Both have taken shots at the likes of Adele and Taylor Swift, for example. I ask her if she's ever met any of them. I haven't had any encounters with them, actually, she says. Sometimes you have to separate the art from the person. It's more like the music element, the aspect of it that I'm really connected to. The way that some Britpop artists acted, the things that they've done, they're obnoxious for sure. That's their whole thing. They seem to represent a certain version of toxic rock masculinity, I say. And Lipa agrees, pondering what the world expects from rock stars in the past. Quote, there's so much toxicity in the way people wanted their artists or their musicians, she says. If they weren't like that, they would have been seen as boring. And I think that's such a bad way to see things, end quote. And with that, I'm going to have to stop right here because I'm out of time. Join me next week as I finish this article and we once again go behind.
Cover of the Rolling Stone, on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
See my picture.
I don't know why we ain't on the cover, baby. We're beautiful fellas. I ain't kidding you. Oh, we would make a beautiful cover. A front shot. Right up front, man. I can see it now. We'd be on the front smiling, man. Oh, beautiful.